يجدون رقة عند محكمه ويحلكون عند متشابهه. Was narrated according to Abd al-Razzaq, according to Ma'mar, according to the son of Ibn Tawus, according to his father, according to Ibn Abbas, that Ibn Abbas saw a man who was shaking when he heard a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the attributes. So Ibn Abbas said, in condemning what this man did, he said, what made those people in fear? Or his statement could be understood based on the Arabic variation of the pronunciation, those people did not distinguish. They find acceptance on those parts which are clear, and those evidence which have less clarity in them, they will go to destruction. So that shows us that Ibn Abbas, he was condoning this person who did not accept the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that shows us that some people do not have a clear understanding of delicate issues in the religion. And the issue of the attributes of Allah is a delicate issue. This is why many people went into deviation. But it's not hard, nor there was ambiguity to it. But people, due to their mentality, and they let the mentality, their mentality control their thoughts. Therefore, that caused them to go to deviation. And this is a problem everywhere. When a person lets his own mentality govern his thinking process, he will always not reach the truth. We find in this hadith that Ibn Abbas said, how come those people, when they are dealing with the clear evidence, they accept it? When I'm dealing with the evidence who have less clarity to it, they do not accept it. That implies that in the book of Allah, there are those ayat which are clear. It's called muhkama. And it's those ayat who are mutashabihat. They have some little bit of ambiguity in them. But that, in regard to ayat as they stand alone. But as far as the Quran as a whole, the Quran all clear. Because those ayat purify one another, bring clarity to one another. The Sunnah will bring a clarity to an ayah that has some type of ambiguity in the Quran. So the ambiguity and the clarity is a reference to the ayat, how they stand alone. But as far as the text of our religion, the overall is clear. Because those clear ayat bring clarity to those who have some ambiguity to them. And also the Sunnah brings clarity to the Quran. As far as that concerns, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Imran, هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله. والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. Or the right citation could be وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله. And you continue. وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. In this ayah, Allah says, it's He who brought down upon you a book. Of this book, there are those clear verses. And there are those less verses who have less clarity, some ambiguity in them. For those who have deviation in their heart, they are going to follow those ayat that they have ambiguity to them in them, seeking out of that to make trouble and seeking to explain it. Ta'wil means, or one of the meanings of ta'wil is to explain, to make tafsir. However, only Allah may know it is ta'wil. And those who are affirmed in the knowledge, they say we believe in it, all of those ambiguous declares come from our Lord. And only those who have intellect, they're going to benefit from the admonishment, from the reminder. The secret in understanding this ayah is the word ta'wil. Ta'wil in Arabic means two meanings. It means the consequences, al-aqibah, consequences, al-aqibah. And also ta'wil means the theory, which is explanation. As far as ta'wil means al-aqibah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا. This is better and it has better consequences out of that. So التأويل means linguistically العاقبة. So in this ayah in Surah Al Imran, if we make تأويل to mean العاقبة, and we say those people, they are trying to make fitna when they follow the ambiguous verses, and they are trying to make ta'wil of that, explanation. And then we say, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Only Allah knows the consequences of that. So here we use ta'wil to mean consequences. And with that, the notion of the meaning of ta'wil is taught. And we say, and those who are firm in the knowledge, they do not do what those who have deviation is. They only follow the ambiguous, but they say both from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in them both. And the other meaning of ta'wil, which is tafsir, we say those who have deviation in their heart, they're following the ambiguous verses in order to make fitna and in order to make the tafsir. However, the tafsir is only known by Allah and those who are knowledgeable. And those who are knowledgeable, they say, both of them from Allah Azza wa Jal. The implication of that by saying both of them from Allah Azza wa Jal is to understand the ambiguous term in the light of the clear term. An example of that, the Christians came and they said, your Lord is more than one. Because It says many times in the Quran, نحلو, نحلو. We denote more than one. So for them that was an ambiguity. So they followed that which is ambiguous. And they did not follow that which is clear. It says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. So if you see how those who have deviation in their heart, they try to follow those verses that they have ambiguity in them and leave those who are clear. But those who are established in knowledge, they understand those who are have ambiguity in them in the light of that which is clear, thus all of them become clear to them. And this is very important to understand, because some people who have deviation in their heart, they say, listen, Allah said in the Quran, only Him He knows the meaning of the Quran. So don't go any further. This Quran cannot be understood by no one. We say this is misunderstanding. We think Allah will reveal to us a book to guide us, and this book nobody knows what it means. Why would it then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in His book, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ? Wouldn't they reflect upon the Qur'an? How many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Qur'an, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ? We made it in Qur'an in the Arabic language, because it was given to the Arabs for you to understand. So that means Allah gave us this Quran to understand it. And if this is the case, part of understanding it is to know the tafsir of it. Now the tafsir of Al-Quran, and pay attention to this point, could be according to the apparent meaning or according to a hidden meaning. The general principle in tafsir of the Quran, you have to make tafsir according to the apparent meaning. And if a person makes the tafsir of a text according to a meaning that is not apparent, he has to have an evidence for that. An example of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, فإذا قرأت القرآن فاستعذ بالله. If you recite the Quran, or if you have recited the Quran, to be exact in this translation, if you have recited the Quran, then seek refuge from Allah. The apparent tafsir of that, reciting is a past tense. If you finish the recitation, then you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. But that meaning is not the true understanding. The understanding is, we read, before we do the recitation, we say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, not after. We came to this understanding of the text because we have an evidence from the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us that the isti'adha takes place before the recitation. As far as ta'wil to mean the consequences, we can apply that to the names of Allah and the attributes of Allah. We can use that as an evidence. Because as far as Allah, the name, the denotion of the meaning of the names of Allah, they are understood for us. But as the consequences, the kayfiyyah is not known to us. Also, another implication of that, we all know when we read إن القرآن إلى السماء انفطر. The notion of that meaning, linguistically we can understand, but how that will take place, العاقبة of that, we cannot even imagine it. Another example, you know in the heaven, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of paradise, there is grapes and pomegranate and honey and milk. Do you think those grapes are similar to the one you go and pick up from the Saturday market, or similar from the milk that you go and buy from the grocery store? Of course not. Even though the name is similar, but the quality are totally different. Therefore, it was said in the Hadith al-Qudusi that in paradise there is no ear has heard, and no eye has seen, and no heart has imagined. So only through that we know the name, we know what grace means linguistically, but that the quality of those grace is not known to us from that perspective. So we know it from one perspective, which is the linguistic meaning, but we do not know it from the other perspective, which refers to its reality. So similar to that are the qualities of Allah. We know the quality of Allah, the attributes of Allah, in reference to the linguistic meaning, but we do not know the realities of those attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having said that, we finish this chapter, and we read inshaAllah the issues, and we move on to the next chapter.
Is now any of the names or attributes of Allah cast out one from the man?
According to what we have said in the beginning of this chapter.
Detail the sound of the verse 13 verse. Of who is speaking in a manner which the listener cannot understand clearly.
This is taken from the statement of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu.
Mentioning the reasons which lead to the denial of Allah's messenger from Allah alayhi wa sallam, even as intentionally. Warning of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the effect that whoever denies any of the attributes of Allah is revealed.
Moving to the second chapter, which is the chapter of chapter number 41, recognizing the grace of Allah, yet denying it. What? It's disbelief. Yet denying it, it is disbelief. This title is from the translator edition, because this chapter was put by Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. He just put bab, and then he said قول الله تعالى يعرفون نعمة الله ثم ينكرونها وأكثرهم الكافرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya ikhwan, has bestowed upon us his boons and bounties, things that we can never even count. Even the least one of us, the bounties upon this individual cannot be counted. So with this being the case, we have to understand that Allah's bounties are two sides. Given bounty and earned bounty. The given bounty, just like the sight, the hand, the feet, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates you with, You did not have to endeavor in any type of effort to receive those bounties. Allah bestowed upon you those bounties without you endeavoring in any effort. And you find people, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمِنَّةِ, they find it easy to identify those are the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True? But then there are those bounties who are the earned bounties, which mean an individual will put a certain effort, and this effort will prove a bounty to this individual. Such as a person works and at the end of the week will receive his paycheck. His paycheck is a bounty that came to this individual through working. For a person made a nice drawing, engineering drawing. His ability to make this engineering drawing did not come to him while he was sleeping. He had to go to school, study hard, do a lot of practice. This ability to do that is a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People have the tendency to forget that those bounties are from Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, they tend to connect those bounties to themselves. They say, because I'm smart, I was able to make the money. Because I'm strong, I was able to lift that thing. So people have the tendency to attribute the bounty to the causes of those bounties. A person, a thief will come to a house and the alarm will go off. And the person says, if it wasn't for the alarm, the thief will come in. So he's attributing the bounty of Allah to the cause. And that represents a major problem. Because part of believing in the bounties of Allah and being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to attribute the bounties to the giver, not to the cause. If we attribute the bounties to the cause and not to the giver, those people are not being grateful the way it should be. Secondly, in being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding His bounty is to utilize this bounty in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or at least do not utilize this bounty in disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla. So in brief, we have to be grateful to Allah's bounty, to acknowledge those bounties, attribute those bounties, make the attribution of those bounties to Allah, whether they are earned bounties or given bounties, and utilize those bounties in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An example of what we are talking about, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, the story of Qarun, who was one of the people of Musa, and he was very wealthy. When he was taught, when he was addressed concerning that affair, he said, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reported his statement in Surah Al-Qasas, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيْتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ مِنِّي. Verily, I have received it due to my own knowledge. Thus he did not attribute the bounty to the giver. He attributed those bounties to his own self. And how foolish she was. Because the knowledge that you have, who gave you the brain to think? Who gave you the vision, the eyes to read? Who gave you the ears to be able to read, to listen? Who empowered you to be able to work? So this is very foolish. Therefore the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sulaiman, when the throne of Sheba was moved from one place to where Sulaiman was in the blink of an eye, he said, this is, look at his reaction and learn from the Prophet of Allah. He said, this is from the fadl, the bounties of Allah over me to test me. Am I going to be grateful or am I going to disbelieve? And verily, whoever is grateful, it is for his own self. And whoever disbelieves, Allah is in no need for anyone because Allah is the most generous. So when Sulaiman received those bounties from Allah, he did not say, this is because I am the powerful, because I have my people around me. But he connected that with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that should be the way for us to deal with the bounties that Allah Azza wa Jal bestows upon us night and day. Having said that, inshallah, we read what came into this chapter. Read for us.
The ayah or
the story? Everything.
They recognize the grace of Allah, yet they deny it by worshipping others besides Allah. More of them are disbelievers. The Jahid has stated the things of a man as the world is mine, I have inherited it from my elders. Aun, is that Aun? Aun, then Abdullah says, they say, if so-and-so would have not been such-and-such, would have not occurred.
So all of those statements give us those people, they did not attribute the bounty to Allah. But the first one he says, this is my wealth, I inherited due to the inheritance, and so on and so forth. Now,
in verse 21, he said, they say that these blessings are the result of their deity's intercession. After the Hadith of David was audited in chapter 30, in which Allah said, this one comes as days remain as true believers and some became disbelievers, Abdullah Abbas in the said, such commandments have occurred frequently in the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah condemns those who attribute his blessings and mercy to others whom they associate with him. Some other scholars of earlier days cite this example as wind was blowing favorably and the sailor was wise and experienced. Likewise are the statements of most of the people.
Well, okay, read for us here, Mr. Jazakallah.
Recognition of the blessing and description of the
bounties. So to recognize the bounties, to know those are bounties, and then to attribute those bounties to Allah represents denying those bounties.
All types of denial are known to the most of the people. Naming such statements as the denial of the blessing combination of two opposites in the heart.
If you have said that, inshallah, we conclude this chapter. And if you have any questions, we can take your questions in the remaining time that is available.
Do you mind elaborating on why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, said we in the Quran, remember?
Ta'zim, to glorify. In the Arabic language, when you use the pronouns of zero, for one, this is for ta'zim, for glorification. Do you know what it means that two opposition are in one heart in this final issue? It means how the people are, they understand those are the bounties, yet they are denying those bounties. Also sometimes in the heart of the individual, they will be believed, and at the same time, they have elements of disbelief. Having said that, we conclude inshaAllah. وهذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.